27, verses 19 through 23. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." You know, ever since Pilate has asked this question, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" the question remains, or must be answered, by every person who walks the face of this earth. What will you do with Jesus? That means that there are choices as to what we will do with him. Now, we just sang this song, "What Will You Do With Jesus?" And what I want to do tonight, I want to rearrange this song, and I want us to think of this as this song is talking to me. What will I do with Jesus? The question comes to me, and I must give an answer of something I must do. Each one of us needs to look into the mirror of our soul and answer that question: what will I do with Jesus? I have several things I want to ask along this line, or several answers I want to give along this line, because we will do one of these things in our lives. I could deny him. We do know that this happened on one occasion. You know, some people say that he never really existed. But most people, when they say, "I deny Jesus," they're simply refusing to acknowledge him and his teachings. This is what the Apostle Peter did in Matthew chapter 26. He denied his Lord three times on one evening, the night that Jesus was betrayed. You know, Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven." There are many people in the world today who have denied Jesus. There are many people who have verbally acknowledged Jesus, as Peter had done, but yet through his life have denied him. You know, Peter done it both ways. He said, "Lord, I will never deny you." And then he did it three times. Not only with his words, but with his life on that evening. And you and I are faced with this same thing. We will either deny Christ or we will accept him. I'd like to think that everyone in this room accepts Christ. We all have verbally. I do hope that we all do with our lives as well. I can be a hypocrite and only pretend to be his. You know, this is what Judas did with his life. In Matthew chapter 26, beginning with verse 47, we read this account where Judas played the part of the hypocrite. And the reason we can say that is because Judas was named among one of the 12. And yet, he was hypocritical in life. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" And they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. Jesus played the part of the hypocrite. You can't help but wonder how many today in the religious world plays the part of the hypocrite. You know, usually it's done in a very subtle way on man's part, and for the most part, others do not know it. But it will be discovered one day. Sometimes it is discovered during the life of the person, and sometimes it's not. But be warned, it will be discovered. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" It is obvious here that Jesus is talking to people who claim to be his followers. "Lord, have we not done all of these wonderful things as your follower?" And today we have people who call themselves Christians who may work in the church, who may do all of these great things for the cause of Christ, except give Christ his life. And they play the part of the hypocrite. So I can be a hypocrite and pretend only to be his. What will I do with Jesus? I can compartmentalize him. Now what I mean by that is I can give him a place on the calendar, but not in my heart. Jesus talked about people like this in John chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. But he who does not love me does not keep my words." You know, we need to understand that Jesus' time in our lives is all the time. When Jesus said, "Be the light of the world," he didn't mean turn it on during a part of the day and then turn it off for the rest of the day. He didn't mean be bright, be dim. Be bright, be dim. He is looking for us to be light throughout our lives, every day of our lives, every minute of our lives. We must remain light. John tells us in 1 John 1, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." But what that means is, and how this can only happen, is if we give Jesus all of our lives and not just a small part of it. I can overdo and burn out. You know, in our regular life, there is a place for loyalty to Jesus. And I want to read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul addresses this beginning in verse 9. He says, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are all in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire," get this, "that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we have commanded, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, not lacking anything." And now what Paul is telling us here is that we can go about our everyday, daily affairs of life and be a Christian. We don't have to go around all the time blowing our own horn, showing other people what wonderful things that we can do through God. We can be normal, everyday people and not overdo it and still be children of God. But we need to understand that that coin can be flipped. We can also underdo, and we can vegetate ourselves. Oh yes, there is definitely a place for excitement in Christianity. We had excitement this morning at this church. We get excited every time something good happens at this congregation, and we should. You know, Matthew 13, verse 44, we find excitement in a man who found something. He said the kingdom of heaven was like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and he hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. He's so excited about what he has found, he wants to be sure that he can have it. There are times, my friends, when we need to get excited about our Christianity. There are times when we need to be totally overwhelmed. Too many times we underdo, and we let ourselves just slip away by the wayside. We can facilitate our Christianity and never really make up our mind. Now, what I mean by facilitating is being wishy-washy. That's what that word actually means. Wavering to and fro. Can't make a decision, yay or nay, front or back, left or right, up or down. You know people like that who can't make a decision? Yeah. James says that a double-minded man is unstable in his ways. We read that in James chapter 1 and verse 8. There is one thing that we must do as children of God, and that is we must make up our minds that we are going to be children of God. And that we are not going to let anyone or anything stand in our way. That when we come up out of that watery grave of baptism, we have made up our mind that we are going to serve the one true and living God, and we are going to give Him everything that we have, and we are going to serve Him until the day we take our last breath. That is what we do. And if we become wavery, wishy-washy about that, then we have lost a great part of our Christianity. There are a lot of things that we can do. What it all comes down to is the fact that we must make a choice about Christ and about His church. We need to decide in our minds once and for all, I am going to do this or I am not. We can be like Joshua, and we can declare for all to hear that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or we can be like the people of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 44 and verse 16. When they said, and as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. And let me make one other point clear. If you do not say what Joshua says, you have already said what the people of Jeremiah have said. Because there is no halfway. As I said earlier, we can't turn the light on and turn the light off. When we turn the light on, it needs to stay on. When we say, I am a child of God, we need to be a child of God today, tomorrow, and forever. Tonight, my friend, you are called by the Savior. Jesus calls you to allow Him to come in to you who labor and are heavy laden and find rest. And I think this is one of the most beautiful passages that you will find in the Bible. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Why would you not want to follow someone like that for your entire life? Where could you go to find someone better to follow? What better life could you have than to turn on that light and shine it for Christ? The gospel calls for you to submit to the authority of Jesus. And if you're not a Christian, you can do that tonight through obedience to the gospel. If you have walked away from God, you are still responsible to the authority of Jesus to come back to Him and to live for Him once again. He invites all of us to walk in the light as He is in the light. He invites us to, through that light, find Him and life in Him, life through Him that will last forever. But you have to decide to do that. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Make the right choice. Make it now while we stand and sing.